Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. This week, just like we did following season one, we'll be taking some time here to reflect on our favorite season two memories. So we'll be chatting about our favorite characters, favorite episodes, discussions, surprises. This exercise was a ton of fun last season, and I'm really excited to jump in. But first, I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
I'm Emily Sui. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Sui.
Also, new year, same super producer, and that's Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And that's our secret, Cap. It's always kids with a Z. And no episode description today, no shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible, I guess other than the folks who just said their names a moment ago, because this is a recap, and the format's a little bit different. So I guess what I'll do is just kind of give some quick takes about how this season felt to me. You know, we've got season one under our belts. We have a monumental sort of interview episode under our belts. And some things I thought came easier, at least for me this season. Maybe you all feel differently about that. But I wasn't like stressing as much over like watching the episodes and prepping, going through the watch party, thinking about, these are the types of things that'll sound great in a discussion on mic. A lot of that just felt, I was able to, I feel like I got in a good rhythm in that regard. And maybe that's why this season felt like kind of a blur in comparison to season one, just because we were so like in a groove for a good long while. Also because we were going off of like roughly half as many episodes as season one had. I'm sure that had something to do with it. I don't know, like thinking about the episodes we did discuss, like season one had a lot of bangers, right? Like right out of the gate, classic all time Hey Arnold episodes. And season two had, I think, fewer of those, but it had a lot of episodes that we're doing, without getting into like the nitty gritties, a lot of like the similar things, exploring the nuance of, Arnold and Helga, the rest of these characters, the rest of this sort of environment and like the different corners of this community that we're taking, 11, 12 minutes to explore. And since, I don't know, there was a lot more like, I hate using this word in this specific fashion, but like there was a lot of parody, I think, in terms of episode quality. And so like thinking about what, these categories and what I was going to talk about for this sort of recap was really difficult. Whereas like season one, it was really easy to think like, okay, congratulations, Stoop Kid and Pigeon Man. You two are prom king and queen of Hey Arnold for season one. That didn't really happen this season, and like kind of in a good way. So I'm excited to explore those and hash those out with y'all. See what sorts of things really resonated with you all. Harry, does any of that ring a bell with you, or did you come away with sort of different feelings about season two?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Cody. That was a really apt description, I think. It's weird, right? I mean, I think that season two is kind of an unusual season in that, for one thing, there are like half as many episodes as there were in season one. And for two, just because of the weird sort of production code scramble that Hey Arnold was and is, thanks to I don't know who, maybe the executive producers, maybe Nickelodeon. But there are also a lot of episodes that are sort of out of strict chronological order here, right? Where like the production code and the actual air date are very, very different, which kind of makes for a schizophrenic season in some ways, where some episodes feel distinctly like season one episodes. Some episodes feel like they are season three episodes. You know, it's kind of all over the place. And it's also shorter. So I definitely agree, particularly with your point that this season was kind of a blur. I don't really know to what to attribute that, except that I think we were all very busy. I think we recorded season two from like September to December now. And that sort of like taught me a lot about the ongoing pressures of making a podcast and how you can sort of, I mean, I don't think we were resting on our laurels at all. Right. But there were a lot of weeks this week where I had sort of like, first season, I had put a lot of time away towards sort of understanding the episode we were about to watch and where we all were as sort of podcasters in it and what we were going to say. Whereas this season, there was a lot of like just showing up right on time, you know, instead of sort of doing that work. I think that we were all so busy that we didn't have as many guests as we did last season, which I feel kind of bad about because I really, really love having guests. And like you had noted before, I think it really opens up something in our discussions. So I look forward to doing that more. But other than that, I think that I'm really proud of this season, right? I think that just like Hey Arnold sort of like really hits its groove in terms of understanding what it is to the point that it can sort of meta commentate and parody itself. I think that we did a pretty good job of sort of really like honing in on what we were going to talk about in each episode. And it felt really, really good to me to sort of like see those themes returning episode over episode, right? Like I would know what Cody was going to talk about or what Emily was going to talk about or what I was going to talk about because I could sort of see the recurring motifs of Hey Arnold establish themselves. And that felt like it gave me a really nuanced understanding of the show that I had never possessed before. And that's the sort of thing you really only get from doing this kind of thing, right? This episode by episode watch. And so I feel like I have a lot more familiarity with and fondness for Hey Arnold as a show, even than I did at the end of season one. And I think part of that is talking to Craig Bartlett contextualized it so well. And then just doing this with both of you for this long now has really helped me understand those things. So I really appreciate it. I think it was a weird season, not necessarily a doldrums season at all for either us or the show, but sort of like a busy time for all of us and a really good season in spite of all that. So I feel really good about it. Emily, what did you think about the season? Do you agree with any of that or where are you coming from?
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything both of y'all are saying as per usual, but yeah, I think this time around for season two, I was approaching it in a less of a strict way as well, where first season, I was watching the episode ahead of our watch party and like taking notes and trying to just wrap my head around the show again. And I guess for me, it's been a lot longer since I've rewatched it, since I've never really rewatched it since I was a child. So yeah, it's coming into the show so much later. I've just like been trying to wrap my head around it again, get re-familiarized with all of the characters and plots, which was, I think, great for the first season being longer to like kind of get more into it and for us to kind of hit our stride and then get to talk to the creator, which was amazing. But yeah, this time around, just because we were so busy and we had kind of already hit the groove, I think I just didn't put as much time aside to like writing up notes ahead of our watch party or watching it and all of that. And yeah, I was interested too to see at what point I would stop remembering some of these episodes, which has happened in this season. And I don't know where that'll go from here, really, with me maybe having seen an episode as a kid or not. And especially given the production code order, like it just being maybe more of a random gamble of what I have seen by now. But I think second season was awesome. Not as many heavy hitters as first season, but also, yeah, just a lot shorter. And I think there was some great character development, especially with the main characters. And we see a lot more like of Helga's home life and all of that. And then some great new characters were introduced too. So, yeah, the show is amazing, and I'm just glad to keep watching it with y'all. And it's fun too when there's an episode that I don't quite remember or maybe haven't seen, because putting it in the context of this entire podcast and watching it with y'all is a lot of fun and just really cool to think through the themes in that way.
Yeah. Wow. That's a really excellent sentiment and one that I totally agree with. That's one of, and I've said it before, that's definitely one of my favorite things about this is being able to contextualize and recontextualize a lot of these things sort of with y'all in the moment, as well as like while we're watching them together remotely. Because the world is as it is. I think that sets the table really nicely for what follows. And for those who have not listened to this episode, but season one, which came out last September or August, somewhere around there, we're just going to go through some different categories and group our thoughts together. That way we all made picks for a variety of different subjects, and we'll actually start with our favorite one-off characters from season two, our favorite sort of non-recurring necessarily, just, you know, one-off for a single episode type of character, ones that stood out to us. And I'll let Harry have the floor first. So Harry, which characters stood out to you in this regard?
Hey, thanks. I have three, so I'll go quick. But the first one, I couldn't really tell if this is a one-off character because, to be honest, I don't really remember this character recurring very much. He certainly never has as big a role as he does in the episode I'm talking about, which is Longest Monday. But I really love Park's contribution to that episode, where he has this, like, awesome hidden hideout that all the fourth graders can go to escape the fifth graders who are trying to shove them into trash cans. And so it'll be interesting to see if I'm proven wrong, but I've always loved that part of that episode where, like, because as a kid you always wanted a secret hideout, you know, and so there's something about that that's so evocative for me. My number two is Nick Vermicelli from Save the Tree. I think this is also technically maybe cheating a little bit because I think Vermicelli is in a couple of other episodes and maybe the first Hey Arnold movie as well. But I find him hilarious. I love his, like, his blue suit and his, like, open collar where you can see his chest hair and his gold chain. He's such like a he's such a vivid portrait of exactly that type of character. The ponytail too. And I love his interactions with Big Bob. And I love that Big Bob is, like, the principled one in their business relationship, because that's such a nightmare to think about. So I always love him when he turns up. My number one is, of course, Emily Dickinson herself from Phoebe Cheats. That is one of my spoilers, I guess, one of my favorite episodes. I find it so funny, especially the part where Phoebe's starting to break down and yelling at her Emily Dickinson trophy. And at one point she says, like, you're an inanimate object. You can't even talk. And she said, and Emily Dickinson says back, and you can't write poetry. It's so funny. I find it so sharp. I love that Emily Dickinson hounds Phoebe through her life. And Phoebe tries to bury her or throw her out the window, and she always finds her way back. Just a really, really funny part of that episode. Emily, excuse me. Wow, I already screwed this up, but I want to hear Emily's one-off characters now because you picked some really good ones.
Well, thank you, Harry. I love your pick of Emily Dickinson, the trophy, as a one-off character. That's a really good one. I have an honorable mention going to Henry, which is Eugene's pet goldfish in Eugene's Pet. I just think it was very cute that Eugene had a goldfish pet and that he named him Henry, just a very human name. And he has obviously had far too short of a life, but hopefully a precious one with his boy Eugene when he was here on Earth. To my actual category picks, I had also Cupcake or Thurston, which is the teensy weensy little cat in Harold's Kitty, who Harold, you know, takes care of and has a really hard time letting go of, but who belongs to the older woman on the street. Just a great name too for a tiny little cat. This last one, for one-off character. So I need to give a little bit of a disclaimer, Hey Arnold hasn't, like, historically had the best track record with portraying Romani people or Roma people. So this character might lean into some like not so great stereotypes in that regard. But I wanted to shout her out because the voice actress is really cool. So the pick is Madame Blanche from Helga's Love Potion. So she's a character played by Kathy Najimy, who's just a super cool actress and voice actress. She's been in so many things. I wrote a list of some that like caught my eye just from her Wikipedia page. And she's a great character in this episode too, where she's got the pink and purple outfit and all of the rings and earrings and jewelry. And she gives Helga grape juice as her love potion to stop being in love with Arnold. But yeah, so Kathy Najimy, I just wanted to shout her out because she has been in Sister Act, Hocus Pocus, Rat Race, That's So Raven, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Ugly Betty, Veep, The Wedding Planner, Desperate Housewives, Dumplin', to name a few that she's acted in. But she's also been a major heavy hitter voice actress. So she was in King of the Hill, Hercules, Pepper Ann, Rugrats, Rocket Power, Wild Thornberries, Stuart Little, Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, BoJack Horseman, and Wally. And obviously as this character in Hey Arnold, too. So I just think she's awesome, and I wanted to shout her out because I forgot to in the actual Helga's Love Potion episode. But yeah, Cody, you go now. I want to hear your characters for one-offs.
Sure. Thank you, Emily. Kathy Najimy. I watched Sister Act for the first time a handful of months ago, and she is easily a very fun movie, and she's one of the best parts of it. And so anybody who needs a sort of like, if you had a rough day and just want something that is like very joyful and fun, that's hopefully I'm not misremembering that movie too much. I remember feeling very happy and smiling a lot. And she's great. So yeah, great picks from the two of you. I've just got two picks for this category. Before I jump in, Harry, did you have a thought?
Well, I was just going to ask, is Kathy Najimy also in Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit?
I believe yes. So. I've not seen Sister Act 2.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. I just mostly wanted an excuse to say that because it's my favorite suffix of anything in any media. I think Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, that's the best name. It's so good. All right, anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cody.
No, hey, that's all a part of being a content creator. You got to shout out good content, and that is a pretty good suffix or subtitle or whatever they call it in the biz. But yeah, for my couple of picks, for me, these two are so like they're so like spiritually linked, just because in my mind the two episodes are so similar, and so I couldn't help but just include the both of them. And I'm talking about Robbie Fisher from the Steely Phil episode and Seymour, aka The Disposal, from Eating Contest. On paper they're maybe not necessarily the same episode, but both of them have this sort of like fun familial like legacy rivalry energy going for them, and they take them in different directions. Like Robbie Fisher is sort of like he's a smarmy butthead, is the rated G term I'll use, and it's fun to see him get his comeuppance at the end. And he's sort of, you know, a number of us, I think, mentioned up top, you know, how the show allows us to contextualize and recontextualize our like experiences and tastes and memories and things. And like Robbie Fisher is sort of a living embodiment of that. And Steely Phil, AKA Grandpa, like thinking back on things, on like past failures and like thinking consciously about how to reapproach those while still choosing to make them head on and accepting the fact that he might not succeed. Up against somebody like Robbie Fisher, who is sort of resting on his laurels, you know, the sort of if our podcast were in an evil universe, that's what we would have been in season two, this sort of Robbie Fisher-esque entity. I think for what Robbie Fisher brings to that episode, it's like a really great portrayal of that thing. And Seymour the Disposal, I'm going to try to keep my sports perspectives to a minimum, but like ever since we talked about that episode, and I think I talked about it a little bit on, I probably wasn't the only one, but thinking about how like the childhood rivalries and how you don't always know your opponent. And Seymour is also sort of a playful look into the side of town that we don't get to see because we're just, we're just looking at PS-118. And Seymour is somebody that we, you know, he's automatic until he isn't. That's just, I think, a really fun approach to the antagonist of a friendly competition sort of episode. And so I like those two episodes a lot. And I like those two characters a lot. And those were my picks for favorite one-off character. A really great category to kick us off. Before we pivot, Emily, did you have any thoughts?
I had a quick thought because I was brainstorming what would an evil version of this podcast be called. And I think it'd be called Stop Kids with an S and OZ. So just wanted to put that out there.
Or like maybe an exclamation point as like an imperative, like stop kids.
Right, exactly.
My brain, because it's bad, went to poop kids. But that might that might actually be nice. Who knows? I'm gonna step down. I'm gonna get this mic away from me. I believe Harry is introing the next category. Harry?
Yeah. Well, I'm calling out now the best urban legend or side character. That meaning the best subject of an urban legend or just a character who is particularly great in a side episode. And I would like to hear from Emily first.
Oh boy. Best urban legend or side character. So I chose, I think maybe someone else has the same one, but so Big Caesar, which is the ginormous fish in the episode Big Caesar. He's more of an urban legend type character, and Arnold and Gerald spend like the whole day trying to catch him, and they actually do, but then have to let him go out of the goodness of their own hearts and because it's the right thing to do. But man, yeah, it was great that they caught him. Big Caesar, we hardly knew ya, but you're a legend. Another one I picked was the monkey in Monkey Business. Mostly just wanted a chance to shout out Monkey Business more than once if possible. And yeah, the monkey kisses Helga on the arm, which starts her paranoia after having just learned about monkey nucleosis in Mr. Simmons' class. And the monkey has a cute little hat on, too, and he's kind of like the star of this little park show in the park. Shout out to that monkey. Great side character. I don't know if he has a name, but monkey. And then the last one I chose, which I don't know if this even counts as a side character. I'm not sure where we draw the line at main character versus side character. But I had to put Mr. Simmons down since he made quite an introduction for himself in New Teacher, and because he's just the best. Great queer representation, great teacher, great person for the kids to learn from at PS-118. So shout out to Mr. Simmons, and I'm not sure if he's a side character or what you guys think about that, but I'm going to kick it over to Cody next.
Yeah, thanks, Emily. For what it's worth, I think Mr. Simmons is a great pick. I think, and this is sort of a murky category, and not murky. These are all great categories. I think that, and the opportunity for us to shout out both like urban legends, which have a substantial presence more than just like a one-off character might, as well as a side character, which like they might be around for a couple episodes in a season. Like Mr. Simmons has his sort of like big like debut into the series, and then we don't see him too much. Like there are a couple of other episodes he comes up in throughout season two, but it's not, you know, he's not with the frequency of like, you know, a Herald or something like that. I think all of us picked like really great characters as far as like the side character component goes. One thing before I get into my picks, just like a really quick disclaimer, I think for season one, I did rank mine. Mine are just, unless I did anything incorrectly, just the order in which we recorded about the episode that the character was in. So that's what I'm going off of. If I'm saying it first, it's because it's like the first one that we talked about. That might not be important to a lot of people, but it's like, I don't know, just wanted to shout it out because why not? So my first entry in this category is also Big Caesar. I felt a certain obligation to include Big Caesar because, one, I liked this episode a whole bunch. It may or may not have made my top three. Stay tuned to find out. Even more so, I called out Four-Eyed Jack in the favorite one-off character in season one or season one recap for the basically a sort of reasoning that's like it's about what the character represents and what the character's imprint upon that character that really makes that character like brings that character to another level. And that's what Big Caesar felt like to me, this sort of unattainable mythos. I mean, it is the same could be said for a lot of these urban legend characters and episodes, but Big Caesar is something that people are trying to attain or to capture, and you realize what sort of majesty is lost when that is like pinned down or when you're able to sort of quantify the magical. If that makes any sense. And then the sort of, you know, moment when Big Caesar is set free. I don't know. Am I mischaracterizing that, Harry, or does that sound like adequate?
No, I love that. And I would just like to say that, like, also it's such a perfect pick because this is only season two, right? But like Arnold in his sort of rhetorical argument for why they should let Big Caesar go literally says to Gerald, he's one of our urban legends. So like it has internalized and like identifies how important the idea of urban legends is to like both his friend group and to the show, kind of, right? And so it totally makes sense, and it's like it's an urban legend episode about urban legends, right?
Yeah, really well said. So yeah, Big Caesar's on there, as is Wolfgang, who was in I believe the episodes Longest Monday and Mud Bowl, sort of like a back-to-back situation, basically like consecutive weeks, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
one,
I like
two
Wolfgang.
Punch of Wolfgang.
Yeah,
in the order we went in.
Yeah, a 1-2, 6'4", 250-pound, like fifth grader punch. Wolfgang is again, the sort of childlike perspective of like, this is what everybody a year older than me looks like. It's this hulking behemoth of a creature boy. That is what Wolfgang exemplifies. And it's hilarious. It's a very fun, like, caricature of a character. Really great exaggeration to have amongst all these other like pipsqueak children characters. And so I like Wolfgang's utility a lot. And Rhonda. Rhonda, who is in the Best Friends and Rhonda's Glasses episodes. Rhonda was a whole lot of fun this season. And presumably others, spoilers, I guess, we'll talk about those episodes and Rhonda a little more in depth. But just like pound for pound, like going off of her screen time, like some of the most fun I had with a character, like approaching Big Bob territory. And like I've always kind of touted Big Bob as a big, like, favorite, just as I've been going through this watch with y'all. But Rhonda's great. I won't spend too much time on her now. I will, however, throw it over to Harry for his picks for best urban legend and or side characters.
Hey, thanks, Cody. And by the way, I really love shouting out the sort of meta commentary on this episode. I think that's one of my favorite things about silly ranking episodes like this, is we always have to like talk about the procedure behind it. That's always a blast for me. So in keeping with that, I really loved what Emily said about Mr. Simmons and like whether he's a side character or a main character, because I got super lost in that, right? Where I was like, oh, I don't know if Rhonda's a main character or Phoebe's a main character. Side character, because they're all such pivotal parts of the show, right? Like I couldn't call Phoebe a side character, but then I put characters on this list that are arguably as major as she is, right? So like my first one, for instance, is Lila from Miss Perfect. I really love Lila as a character. This is sort of a weird pick because she's only in that episode in season two. As far as I can remember, she hasn't even really had the impact that she has, which is that she becomes like almost the main character of like a burgeoning side plot in later Hey Arnold. And that side plot is something that I'm very, very fond of. So I can't wait to talk about it. But basically, I just included her because I'm really excited to see her. And I like the episode that she's a part of, Miss Perfect, particularly for how it characterizes Helga. But another good example of sort of the weird nebulousness of this category is I picked Big Bob for my second pick from Quantity Time specifically. Big Bob is barely a side character either, right? Like he's so important to the major themes of the show and particularly to Helga that who knows what we would call him. But I really love his impact in Quantity Time in particular. And that was also one of my favorite episodes to talk about with both of you this season. So I think Big Bob's like impact on the show is always a really big part of it. What do you think, Emily?
Yeah, no, I just want to say that's funny because I had written down Big Bob first for the same reason of Quantity Time and then did the whole debate in my head of is he a side character or how do we consider him in this universe? But yeah, great pick.
Right, exactly. It's, you know, I mean, it's just like you said about Mr. Simmons. It's like I would never call Mr. Simmons a side character, or at least I would call him like a legendary side character, right? I think that I'm more comfortable with the categorization of Timberly from Ransom. Maybe unfortunately, Timberly is only in very few episodes as Gerald's little sister, but I really, really love the Ransom episode in particular. I think that's a really good episode about like siblinghood and like how you're supposed to treat younger siblings and younger sisters. And she's just so adorable in it. Right. Like I think she's so smart and so precocious and so energetic, and you can feel her frustration empathically so vividly, so earnestly, right? And it really makes that episode more than the sum of its parts, as so many of these episodes are elevated by their characters, right? So it's really cool to see that the writing team has the ability to do that, to engender so much love for a character in such a small period of time, like that 22 minute episode or whatever it is. So I really love that too. And really shout outs to all of the amazing side characters in Hey Arnold. It's wild to think about how this is a basically an ensemble cast already when you consider all of the kids of PS-118 main characters, if you'd like. And then like beyond that, we get so many other great characters, right? This is a show that's just chock full of amazing characters, even beyond sort of the main relationships we spend the most time thinking about. So it's really cool to return to those.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Buddy.
I believe the next category then is going to be brought to us by Emily. Emily, if you would do us the honors.
Alrighty. So the next category that I will be introducing here is most surprising episode, which I guess I would like to hear what that means for you, if it's something surprised you in the episode itself, or if something surprised you maybe in our discussion or our watch party, what you chose that was most surprising. And Cody, let's hear from you first.
Perfect. Will do. Because I love oversharing for this type of piece of important context, there's a cat on my lap right now, so I'm going to do what I can. There's a bell on the collar, and her name is Norman. She really wants to say hello, but she hasn't seen any of the episodes, so I'm afraid I can't let her say too much. And dems to breaks, I guess. But yeah, most surprising episode. And like Emily, like you alluded to, there's a certain ambiguity with what surprising might mean. So I'm perfectly more than happy to elucidate on each of my picks, starting with Monkey Business. Monkey Business is one of my favorite episodes of this season. Spoilers, it missed out on my top three by like one spot. I think that would probably come in at number four. I was surprised in that, revisiting it and talking about it with y'all. I think through the watch and through our discussion, it like really helped reaffirm for me how like structurally perfect of an episode that is. There are a few episodes this season, throughout the course of the series, that are just like, they're dense in that, there are others that we'll probably talk about later, but like they're dense and they have this sort of immaculately mapped out three-act structure. And Monkey Business just has so much going for it. It feels like a perfect episode of television, and I realize I'm shooting myself in the foot when I say that, because it didn't make my top three, but those are my top three for specific reasons. But Monkey Business is great, as is Freeze Frame. One of my sort of personal motifs for things that I landed upon during our episode watches and discussions was just the show's interaction with like media and things that might potentially live outside of the like the diegetic world of Hey Arnold, and the way that in which they interact with like the camcorder and rewatching video footage, as well as the specific sort of ways that it like that episode made me feel like I was watching like a different type of work, you know, like a Brian De Palma film or something, really enhance that experience in a way that I wasn't really prepared for. And Freeze Frame being an episode that I didn't really remember all that well. I know I watched it when I was younger, but it wasn't one of the standout ones. So That was a big one. And then Rhonda's glasses, surprising in that another one of those episodes that was sort of a bottom feeder for me, one that I definitely remember watching, but didn't remember getting nearly as much out of it at the time. And I'm pleasantly surprised. I was and am pleasantly surprised at the discourse that we were able to have about that episode, the ways in which we sort of satirize class and Rhonda and her mom as characters are so funny. Some of my favorite on-screen presences of the season. I'm glad, really glad that episode exists. Those are my picks. Harry, I believe it is, you know, what were some of your big ones, as far as surprises go?
Hey, thanks. I'm so mad that I forgot to include Rhonda's mom and my one-off characters, because I think she probably would have taken the cake for me. She's so funny in that episode. It's amazing. I love that episode. For my most surprising, I really like the way that you set it up, Emily, because my sort of like criteria for this was something about like the episode's themes itself or our discussion that I found surprising. So my first one was eating contest, because I don't think we had ever seen an episode where Arnold was like legitimately inconvenienced by some quirk of his family's life, right? Like, I think usually the show is very careful to portray his relationship with grandma and grandpa as very idyllic, which is not inappropriate. I really like that about it. But it did create an interesting flavor of episode, no pun intended, when grandpa was pushing him into this eating contest that he really didn't want to be a part of, and he felt like it was a bad fit for what he was all about, but he still sort of had to struggle with it. I really like that, because I think it's really unique to see that perspective from Arnold, right? Like, usually that would be the sort of Helga episode, right, where Big Bob would push her into an eating contest. That feels like a more natural fit. So I loved getting to see Arnold put up with something that he was sort of bothered by. So I really like that episode. My second one is once again Phoebe Cheats. I'm always returned to this episode. I really love episodes where the character is legitimately in the wrong. You know what I mean? I feel like that's another thing that's sort of rare, because Arnold is such a paragon of sort of moral upstandingness. And Phoebe usually is too, right? Which is why this episode is so impactful, because we can empathize so clearly with why Phoebe does what she does and understand it as stemming from a character that has been established. And it's still sort of like unequivocally a wrong thing that she did. And we get to see her struggle with that and move forward. It makes for a lesson that's so much more impactful and so much more interesting and fun to watch. And also, I think it's a really heavy hitter, right? Especially in terms of like, and obviously I'm not Asian American, so I can't relate to it personally in this way, but I found that sort of like utilizing the position that Asian American students so often occupy, where they're under so much pressure to be academically superior in so many ways that they can manifest, in order to create a commentary around that and humanize Phoebe's character further as a character and show her home life. All of that was like really, really nuanced and really powerfully portrayed in a way that made it feel like a really particularly surprising and special episode. Sort of in that same vein, but in a different, less serious way, I really love the episode Hooky, because like, I feel like a show like Hey Arnold does such a great job of circumnavigating that sort of pitfall that so many fable-like or moral-like shows do, where like when there's a moral to the story, so often that ends up sounding preachy. Hey Arnold generally escapes that, but sometimes it can still be a little bit on the nose. So I really love an episode like Hooky, where the moral is so it's so humanistic and so forgiving, in the sense that like, hey, Arnold and Gerald just wanted to skip school, and at no point is that portrayed as like selfish or like delinquent behavior, right? It's like, I feel like a less confident show would have made that out to be more clearly something bad that they were doing, so that kids watching the show would know, it would signal to them that you shouldn't do things like skip school. And the episode still basically does that, but it does that on such a non-judgmental level that it doesn't feel preachy, which I really, really appreciate it, right? Because like I as a kid, that's being afraid of judgment and feeling bad about myself was something I was so prone to. And so an episode like this just feels like such a panacea for that, right? Where it's like, listen, it's okay. Everybody wants to skip school sometimes, even people like Arnold and Gerald, and it's okay that you feel that way. You know, I really like that. I think that's a really great message for kids. So those are my three, but lots of surprising episodes. I really loved your picks as well. And also, Cody, Freeze Frame is such a De Palma movie. Did we talk about that on that episode? If we didn't, we should have, but
we definitely did.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's all I got.
No worries.
And I want to hear Emily's most surprising episodes. And also, if you could, tell us a little bit about the criteria that went into your selection process, because I'm such a nerd and I love to hear about that stuff.
Yeah, thanks for asking, Harry. I think I was thinking through our discussions a lot, but then I also kind of considered what surprised me in watching these now as an adult, where I maybe wouldn't have thought of it as a kid in the same way. So it surprised me to see it in that regard, if that makes sense. But yeah, so one of the surprising ones I picked was The High Life, because it's not every day you see kids getting thrown into Wacko Watch pyramid schemes. You know, Gerald becomes a really fantastic businessman and genius even, because he sells back the supply to the Wacko Watch guy. But I just thought, thinking of it now, it's like surprising that there's a whole episode around, I don't know, pyramid schemes for kids and being salespeople at that age. Where Gerald obviously had no business working even as a fourth grader, but there he was hustling and selling Wacko Watches to every mom and baby around. And also it just surprised me that I did remember the episode once I finally saw the Wacko Watch face. Like I didn't remember it, couldn't remember it. And then as soon as I saw the orange and green watch with the triangle face, I was like, oh yeah, that struck me as a kid. Now I remember where I'm at. So that was cool to me. And then the other pick I have is Arnold Saves Sid. Mostly just picked it because I did not remember Sid acting in the way that he acts in that episode. I don't know that I'd seen that episode. I'm not totally sure. But Sid's kind of like a goofy, funny guy, usually kind of buddy-buddy with everybody. And in that episode, he's like, Arnold's essentially, you know, saves him from getting struck by the falling chicken restaurant sign. And Sid takes it to an extreme with thinking he has to, you know, really bend over backwards because Arnold saved his life and he should do him the honor of waiting on him hand and foot forever. And then he goes, you know, a step further, and he's like, well, now Arnold's taking advantage of me and taking me for granted, all these things that I'm doing for him, which Arnold never asked for. So I thought it was surprising in the way that Sid behaves, and maybe that's just because I haven't seen that episode before. I'm not sure. And then the one other one I picked was Quantity Time, because I think our discussion around it too was really fun, and it seemed like all of us had got a lot of laughs out of Big Bob's character in that episode. And in a way, at least that surprised me, because I'm usually rolling my eyes at Big Bob. He's such an oaf and such a bad father, frankly. But yeah, that one, he was just really funny. He had some great lines. He was just making us all laugh. And I think we kind of were touching on that when we talked about it. So I was surprised by that performance and episode.
Welcome welcome back to Stoop Kids. This is a Hey Arnold podcast. And if you're just joining the episode now, if you scrubbed through and found this exact midway point, you're here on our season two recap episode. We're about halfway through, exactly halfway through, in fact, our categories for just as a means of discussing and reflecting upon our experience with season two of Hey Arnold. And our next category that we've got here is for best episode discussions. So the kind of our favorite chats from the season that we had, our actual on mic engagement with the text, if I wanted to put it in a boring way. Somebody who won't put it in a boring way is Harry, I'm sure. And I will throw it to him first. Harry, what were some of your favorite discussions from season two?
Yes, thank you, Cody. I don't know if I won't be boring, but I'll do my best. My first favorite, or I guess I just have three favorites like we had talked about. I didn't really rank them, but was Rhonda's glasses. I really loved that episode. It reminded me a lot of the episode from the first season where Helga dresses up as a more girly girl for one of Rhonda's parties. I really, really appreciate episodes that take a female-centric point of view because, for one thing, I think that's a relative rarity in like any media, really, but especially children's media. And like to see it happen and to build out the sort of interiorities and try to speak to young women is really great, I think. And it demonstrates both the nuance and the sort of like emotional depth and wisdom of this show. And I think Rhonda's glasses really was that episode for me this season. I really loved hearing Emily sort of like characterize Rhonda's interiority and the thoughts that went behind why she made the decisions she did throughout this episode. Right. I think that my favorite discussions are always ones where like it's, Hey Arnold is an episodes of 20 minutes, right? And oftentimes the sort of moral of the story is very clear and the arc that the characters undergo is very clear because it's, again, like a kid show, right? But we can find and extrapolate on so much nuance within that 20 minutes because the characters are so themselves nuanced and complex and they build upon themselves episode over episode. And it creates these situations where we get to talk about Rhonda and all of her dimension and all of her personality and like connect it to a larger idea that the show is talking about when it comes to female self-consciousness and sort of like burgeoning insecurities and how to navigate those things as a growing young person. And I really, really love that about the show. And I really loved hearing about it. And I learned a lot from that episode. So that was my first favorite. My second favorite or my second most favorite was Quantity Time. Emily, you had covered this a little bit in your last one, Most Surprising Episode. I really liked how you characterized that. And I would just like to say that like a lot of what I just said about Rhonda's glasses applies doubly to this one, right? It reminds me a lot of the Anna Karenina quote where it says, happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way, right? Like similarly, the episode arc of that is pretty obvious, right? Like we know where they're going to end up, Big Bob and Helga, but within that arc, within that storytelling sort of template, there is so much nuance to explore in both of those characters and the roles that they play for one another and how they feel about one another. And it's the type of episode that is just like perfectly ripe for a deep dive podcast like this, right? Where like we have the time and the energy to sort of like really dig into everything that's beneath the surface of that episode. And episodes like Quantity Time do such a great job of like rewarding that depth, right? Because like there's so much about Helga and how she feels about herself and why she feels the way she feels about Arnold that's only explainable via her relationship with Big Bob. And coming out of that episode, I just had like a really, really profound lesson about family and about how like even the sort of things that we don't like about Big Bob are things that we immediately recognize in Helga and we do love in Helga. And I just, there's something so heartening and so beautiful about the transmutation of negative familial traits into something that is itself unique and beautiful and positive in another family member. Right. And like that has so many applicable roots in real life that I really appreciated learning that. And my last favorite was What's Opera Arnold. That was one that we discussed with Nikki. They were a really amazing guest and a really amazing example of the value of guests, right? Because during during that episode, in the basically in the middle of it, Nikki said something about Arnold and Arnold's presence in What's Opera Arnold that like unlocked an aspect of this show that I had never really considered before. And it's like, I'm the guy who considers, like, the three of us are the people who consider this show, right? It's like very few people have spent more time thinking about this probably than we have. And so like to be blindsided that way by like this idea that Arnold is himself this sort of self-conscious, anxious person, and his drive toward sort of like conciliation and being the mediator is a drive that is motivated by insecurities of his own, was like something that really hit me hard. And like I was reevaluating every episode I had seen to this point, right? And like that's the sort of thing that a new perspective can give you that I really just appreciate so much. So I love talking about all the episodes this season. It was a great time, but those three in particular really, really stood out to me. Emily, did you have a couple that really stood out to you as well, and why do you think that was?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I am just picking the ones that were the most recent when I was looking back at the list, and the ones that we had guests on, because, yeah, the last two episodes of the season happened to be the two that had guests. So, yeah, basically my picks were similar to what you just said. I had Eugene Goes Bad and What's Opera Arnold, which was the episode we had Nikki on. And I loved hearing their backstory with Arnold. They're a Horowitz as well as Eugene. So just like that connection was cool. But hearing them talk about like Eugene as a character and his development and stuff throughout that episode was awesome. As was their thoughts on What's Opera Arnold, which, yeah, it was just kind of a wild daydream episode that I also am not sure that I've seen before. So I loved those discussions. I love having guests. We got to have guests on next season for sure, too. And then the other one I picked was our other guest episode that was the most recent one. So Arnold's Halloween, which we had Dan on, our returning guest. And yeah, that episode was more of a, well, special. So the 20-minute instead of the 11-minute episode. And I also don't think I've seen that Halloween episode before either. So to hear all of your perspectives on it who have seen it was awesome, and just like really cool to hear like what stood out to you in that one. Because I think everyone kind of had different understandings of it, and like what drew Dan to it was different than what drew Cody to it, etc. But yeah, that's a great episode in general, and just like jam-packed with so many characters and everything. So it was just cool to hear so many different thoughts about it and about, yeah, a cool holiday episode in general. I think we all kind of like the holiday specials. But yeah, great ones for guests, and we got to have more of them. And now I will be kicking it to Cody for your favorite episode discussions.
Nice. Great kick, Emily. I trapped it here with one of my feet. That is a soccer maneuver, probably. Yeah, I have some similar picks to what the others have already brought forth. But my first pick, just again, chronologically in order of when we talked about it, is Gerald Moves Out. And that's honestly ostensibly like an episode that was probably bottom of the barrel for us, but I've really come to appreciate episodes where we're not just like hyping up, you know, what an episode is doing, or just like, man, this is so funny, or this is such a great like utilization of these characters for this specific genre. I mean, this was an episode that we didn't quite think, you know, hit the mark. We spent some of the time, like we do on some of the episodes, where the episode we watched wasn't our favorite, doing like some armchair directing rather. But like it, kind of, you know, splitting hairs and thinking about why an episode might not have worked for us and providing context for that is really great. That's the type of, engagement that I like with not just Hey Arnold, but like any work of art that I'm either watching solo or talking about with friends. And, you know, the idea, and whether it was Harry or Emily or both of them sort of talking about Gerald as a lightning rod for pain, really like, and not even just like, even just that as sort of a data point, like a singular idea has informed how I watch, like I've watched every episode of Hey Arnold since then. And I'm glad that that conversation with Gerald Moves Out got there, even though it wasn't, again, one of our favorite episodes or even like one of my quote unquote favorite discussions because of how it made me feel. I do think it was one of our best discussions because we got, you know, you kind of get more out of it in that way. Just like, you know, if, you know, bringing it back to sports, you know, you often learn more from a loss than a win. So that's maybe not quite a one-to-one metaphor, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. My next pick, bringing back What's Opera Arnold. So we're 3 for 3 on that one. Having Nikki on that episode was great. They brought a really invaluable perspective to that discussion, and it was really fun talking about an episode that has been had a few different earworms lodged in my brain ever since I was a kid. That's such a catchy episode with such catchy music. And Harry and I and some other friends had actually recently watched another work that involves opera as a sort of plot point, and getting this episode in conversation as a sort of antithesis to that was really especially nice. So shout out to What's Opera.
That rocks. Wow, what a good point.
Yeah. And then finally, Arnold's Halloween as well, which was the episode that we had Dan Nagin on for the season 2 finale, so to speak, as far as canonical episodes go, plus discussions. Thinking back on it, you know, I didn't have the best memory of that episode growing up as well, but watching it and having certain things click for me and everybody else, it honestly felt just like a group of friends getting together and watching this, like this genre feature, because it is like a great fun horror comedy take on Hey Arnold, and exploring what these characters would do if they had twice as much time to sort of settle into an idea or a narrative was really fun to take on with everybody. We needed sort of all hands on deck to keep tabs on, you know, what's Stinky doing, what's Principal Wart's up to. That was just a really good time. So yeah, those were my takeaways for best episode discussions for season 2. We've got 2 more categories here on the docket, the first of which will be brought to us by Harry, if you would be so kind.
Thanks, Cody. Coming up next is my favorite category. It's our favorite character moments. So these are just little moments within episodes or episodes about particular characters that really struck us well for some reason. And I want to start with Emily.
Well, thank you for asking, Harry. Favorite character moments is a tough one because obviously there are a lot of phenomenal characters in the show. But a few that I picked were Arnold and Gerald in 2 different episodes. Just really liked their friendship dynamic in them. So in Arnold's Halloween, they're on the roof of Sunset Arms boarding house where Arnold lives, and they have set up this whole rig of like music equipment, recording equipment, microphones, all of the stuff that we, I guess, have some soft spots for. But they do such a great job with Gerald behind the microphone and Arnold making all these sound effects to scare the people at Hillwood about if possible alien invasion. And their broadcast is just really, really great. And I think they have a blast doing it despite what all happens after that. But yeah, great friendship moment between them. And then also in Freeze Frame, I love seeing them run all over the city with this hunch that something bad's going to happen to Mr. Green. And they're just trying to document it and save him essentially. But while they're doing it, they're filming on their little video camera, and we get to see them using like this old school 90s computer. And I think Harry had mentioned too, it was reminding him of home movies, just in that way. Like, what would it be like to see a home movie that Arnold and Gerald made? But yeah, they just have a blast kind of running all over the town with this paranoid belief. And it's cool to see them working on artistic projects. So that's why I chose those ones. I also have Eugene in Eugene Goes Bad. Just a really, really good episode. And it's fun to see Eugene just switch out his personality so drastically. Because he's obviously known as this, you know, lovable dork. And then he goes bad. So he becomes this bad, cool guy who doesn't give a f-. I'm going to use all of my swears in a row. But yeah, that was a great character piece, I think. And just, I don't know. I liked a lot what Nikki was saying too in that episode about how Eugene is still himself, even though he's trying to be this bad boy. He's still at the core who he is. So he's still like fallen over and, you know, he's still the clumsy dork that he is. But yeah, great character moment there. And then the other one I put was Rhonda from Rhonda's Glasses. I just think that's a fantastic episode and I love talking about it with y'all. And Rhonda, again, so similar, I guess, to the Eugene Goes Bad where he has a huge character transformation. The same thing happens with Rhonda, but she is more, she has a harder time accepting it, but then eventually accepts her title as Queen of the Dorks and or Queen of the Geeks. And yeah, she like becomes this sounding board and like this voice for the dorkier kids at PS118. And yeah, great character development from her in episode. But I want to hear what y'all have to say for this one. Cody, what were your favorite character moments in season 2?
Dang. Going to be hard to follow that up. Emily, you picked some really great ones. I'm going to try. I think last season 1 during our recap, I ended up settling on like my favorite episodes and then just picking like my favorite moments, unintentionally picking my favorite moments just from my favorite episodes. I think I branched out a little bit while still keeping with sort of the heart of the question. But the first one, it's from the episode Save the Tree, which spoilers will be one of my favorite episodes. But it has a moment in it, and I think I brought it up during our discussion, but it is maybe looking back like one of my favorite moments in the series up to this point. And maybe that'll prove to be the case once we get through all the episodes as well. We'll see. But it's the sort of minute and a half long kind of sequence where the night before their tree is going to get bulldozed over, and Arnold's kind of looking up at the night sky, you know, that sort of daydream lead in that we always see. And he ends up leaving his bedroom. He climbs up out of his roof exit. That's a weird sense. But he leaves his bedroom, finds his way to the tree, and like all the other kids have done the same. Like we see Arnold kind of singularly walking through his city. We see it at nighttime, which is not like a privilege we're necessarily afforded on this show. Kids going out at night, etc. You can imagine why we don't see that a lot. And then we see it as sort of a shared experience with all these kids who also left the safety of their homes to come and be with each other at this tree. And that was such a beautiful, I think, poetic representation of like the core sentiment of this show, and also of kind of like what we're trying to do. And so that really resonated with me. It continues to resonate with me. And I like that moment a whole lot. On the lighter side, there's a scene from the episode Best Friends. It's I should have gone back so I could describe it better than this, but it's sort of middle of the episode kind of montage where Arnold's in the middle of Rhonda and Nadine sort of playing telephone through Arnold of like, hey, tell Nadine that blah, blah, blah school project. Arnold, tell Rhonda, yada, yada. And he's getting run ragged by this. And there's this really amazing sort of Jim Lang track that's playing while this is going on. That's almost just like mocking Arnold as he's doing it. It's just like really funny and really great to see Arnold in that position. Because up to that point, we don't get that from him a whole lot. A nice sort of pivot from the show, pivoting away from Arnold and showcasing, or rather bringing in more characters, and seeing Arnold in that spot was really was really nice. And finally, from the episode Mud Bowl, I know I, you know, it's natural for me and a lot of other viewers to lean toward the right way of thinking, which was Arnold's sort of new progressive coaching methods. That wouldn't have been possible without Helga. However, Helga is who I'm shouting up in this episode. Helga embodies the old school rough and tumble sporty mindset, like a problematic, toxic coaching environment of the olden days. It's performed really well by Francesca Marie Smith, which is like sort of like an evergreen, like silly thing to say at this point, because that's just always true. But yeah, like you need Helga's over the top presence here in order for the through line and Arnold's sort of rise to the top. Or they're all rise to the top, but Arnold's way of thinking rising to the top in order for that to really sell. So I really, really like Helga in Mud Bowl. Yeah, those are my picks. Favorite character moments. Harry, what were some of your favorites?
Oh, man, I got to say, I'm really looking forward to your favorite episodes now, because when I knew that Save the Tree would be one of your favorites, and I was really looking forward to hearing your argument for it. And that was already, that was like a delicious sneak preview. I really love what you said about that character moment where it's like usually Arnold is alone when he steps out of his home, right, after having one of those dreams. And it was so beautiful to see him together with everybody else in that community sense. Wow, what a great moment. That didn't make my list, but it should have. What did make my list were four things, because I couldn't limit it. Number four was Gerald and Gerald's bike. Seeing Gerald overcome his self-consciousness and accept with humility how to learn to ride a bike felt so good. And seeing him do the like Rocky raised hands thing at the end was so triumphant that it really just makes my heart swell, right? Like, I just really loved that whole episode. He's so funny in it too, when he calls Harold Bubba. I love that. My number three was actually Harold in Harold's Kitty. Harold is in season one, especially sort of often portrayed as the bully character, but he's always had a great deal of nuance and depth. We got that in Harold's Bar Mitzvah, and we get a lot more of that in Harold's Kitty, right? Where he has this relationship with the cat, and it's like heartbreaking in a way, right? Because he shows a side of himself to this cat that he can't really show to anybody else, and he's so tender and he loves it so much, and it makes it so humanizing, and we can empathize with him so much when he doesn't want to give that up. And I think that that's just a really great example of the kind of thing Arnold is always doing, where it's always portraying more nuance and more dimension to its characters to make its points both more complicated and more resonant at the same time, which is a really difficult thing to pull off, right? Because I think that the more complicated a message becomes, the harder it is to have it land with as much impact as it could, because it sort of tends to get diluted or muddied or what have you. Arnold manages to do both by creating these characters and these situations that are so immediately recognizable and understandable, while containing so much depth and nuance. It just does that fabulously well, I think. My number two, on a less intellectually sort of enlightened note, if you will. Not that I consider myself that way. That's a weird thing to say. But I really love Curly as the bullfighter in What's Opera Arnold, because I have a really soft spot for the class psychopath Curly, for obvious reasons. And he's so funny in that episode. He gets some of the best lines in the whole episode when he's talking about "and several pairs of tights and shades of blue, Helga, please say I do." He hams it up so well. He says cafe au lait when he's fencing with Arnold. It's extremely funny. He says thank you very much like Elvis twice before he dies. Love to see it. Love the boy. And my number one pick is, of course, Simmons from New Teacher. We had talked before, but like, Simmons is barely a side character. He's basically a main character. This is his introductory episode. It's the beginning of a beautiful friendship, right? And I think in particular, his at the end, when he takes all the kids out to a field trip, and we get to see this really like wonderful idealized version of what teaching looks like after all of this time and strife, really great. Simmons is absolutely like the role model for teachers everywhere. It's so good to see him in this, and it's so good to know he'll return. So he was my number one pick for sure. So those were my four, I guess. I cheated a little bit.
Man, oh man, there are just a lot of good characters in Hey Arnold. Yeah, it's cool to hear everyone's picks for those, especially since there are obviously just so many characters too. So like, how do you even choose? But I am now introducing our final category, which is none other than top three episodes for season two. And we're going to kick it off to Cody first. What were your top three picks for this one?
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, honestly, and I'll reiterate, first off, thank you, Emily. It's, man, we've really come a long way. Reaffirming kind of what I gestured at up top, and that, like, deliberating on these categories, I felt for some reason or another, maybe my brain is less hardened to the podcast toils as it was in season one, and I was latching onto these less. I'd like to think it's because there's, again, a lot of these episodes are great in ways that don't, like, you know, they don't necessarily pull themselves away from any of the other episodes. So what I'm trying to say is that there are a lot of, like, quote unquote, capital C correct answers. These are the three that I sort of settled upon. I did mention Monkey Business earlier was, like, really, really close. And, like, honestly, depending on how I'm feeling tomorrow, I might regret having the three that I've got listed here. But my first one, once again, going just chronologically in the order we talked about them, is Save the Tree. I realize I just did do a spiel about it, but the sort of like the episodes where the kids are all sort of on united front, and that, like with Hey Arnold or any other episode where it, like kids or like I don't know, a team of people, you know, just like the entire crew is united for a singular cause. There's just something really earnest and heartwarming about it. As and sort of on the flip side of that, like any and I guess this is sort of geared at like children's animation or like youth programming, but like episodes that hint at this sensation of loss. And I can't remember if I brought it up on our episode discussion, but this episode, Save the Tree, as well as I think it's Old Rusty, the episode of Recess where it's like, hey, we're going to have to tear down your jungle gym. Like those two are maybe it is the fact that both of those exist and they are such similar episodes. But the sort of, you know, like we're losing something, we're losing like something that is like paramount. It's like an institution of our like formative years as children. Like that's like what this tree is to these kids. And, you know, the fact that the fact that we do get those really like somber, melancholy scenes, and then sort of the upward trajectory of them rising up to take it back, or just to, you know, keep it together for the sake of themselves, even if it is just a little bit longer. And then the episode at the end sort of winking at the fact that, like, yeah, but adults are always trying to take stuff from you, and that's just that, like, that's the fight. The fight never ends. There's just a lot to that episode I really like. So Save the Tree is on there, as is Big Caesar, which a number of us, including myself, have talked about. On top of everything else that I guess I've already said about it, it does have, like, for as much as that city differs from like Midwest, you know, from a Minnesota town, just for example, I felt a lot of like, yeah, just like environmental similarities, and, you know, like a grandparent who loves fishing and, you know, wildlife, and like thinking about, you know, the things that your parents and grandparents like doing, how that feeds into like sort of familial legacies, and that taps into this like very specific type of nostalgia. And so like a lot of that was hitting me in waves during our rewatch and our subsequent discussion of Big Caesar. I really like how that, I guess sort of in the opposite of how Save the Tree brings a lot of those people together. You know, the main sort of characters or the A and B and C characters, Big Caesar, it doesn't divide them up, but, you know, you can see everybody wanting to attain Big Caesar, which also sounds weird, but, you know, they want to attain this immortality for their own weird reasons and means, and they get there using their own methods. But once we're actually out on the water and we see Arnold and Gerald in this boat, and it's like kind of foggy out, and then the chase ensues. It's just really poetic and great. And I love that episode. And I also love Helga's Love Potion. That's my number three. I know I didn't shout it out in any of the other categories, but as for as far as, you know, it's, I don't want to say the best, it's certainly one of the best, maybe the best Helga centric episode of the season. And we all know Helga is the sort of, I mean, this is Helga's show. The idea that this episode communicates of, or I shouldn't frame it that way. The idea it explores of, like, who do we become when our obsessions are no longer a part of us, or when we no longer obsess about that thing, is, like, by itself, like, textually such a fascinating, great thing to have in any work of art, much less an animated show geared toward children. And that's, like, seeing that through a sort of adult's eyes, AKA my own, and then talking about that with y'all was really enriching and rewarding. And that is, like, an incredibly important episode of Hey Arnold, and one that maybe doesn't get talked about in the same way that, like, you know, your Stoop Kid or Pigeon Man episodes would. But I needed to shout it out. It feels capital I important, but in a way that's, like, more exciting and fun than what that might suggest otherwise. So those are my picks. Those are my top three. I spend enough time talking about them. I would really like to hear Harry talk about his favorite, or top episodes rather, from season two. Harry.
Hey, Cody. Yeah, you characterized all of those really well. Thank you. I'm kind of showing my bias on my top three. My number three is Monkey Business, a great, great Helga episode. I really love that episode for a lot of reasons, but it really connects with me because I was such an anxious kid, maybe. And I remember, like, very specifically having this sort of world-ending, self-ending anxiety almost, like, week to week, where, like, oh, I contracted some terrible disease and I'm definitely going to die, or, like, I'm going to be hit by a car, or somebody's going to break into my home and kill me, you know? And there's something about being a kid and having those anxieties so ratcheted up because all of your emotions are running so high all the time, that is really a type of experience of life that you only have as a kid. And I really, really loved re-examining it through the show in this way, where, like, as a kid, when you are that anxious and every single day feels like life or death or feels like the end of the world, you're constantly reevaluating yourself and constantly recontextualizing how you feel and how you feel about people around you and what you need to do for them and with them. And I think that's a really important part of growing up. And it's the sort of, like, strange thing that is, like, a really wildly profound part of childhood that I feel like isn't really talked about a lot, just because it's kind of hard to talk about or hard to portray because it's something you feel more than think about. But it really is wild how different you are as a human being when you're a kid, because you know so much less and you've experienced so much less. And seeing even a character as precocious and as brilliant as Helga go through something like that, and seeing how it makes her reevaluate herself and her relationships, and seeing how that process is so essential to her growth as a person, right? To sort of, like, go back to fundamentals and understand herself differently and recontextualize herself, really feels great. And I think that episode is just, like, really, really brilliant for that reason. It's, like, another one of those capital I important episodes that is sort of, like, really about the experience that its audience would be having in that moment, and about giving them the tools, as Craig Bartlett said, to sort of understand and navigate those feelings and those behaviors a little bit better. And just, like, what an unbelievable gift for a show to give, right? My number two is Phoebe Cheats, which I have never shut up about, and will never shut up about in this episode already. Phoebe's one of my favorite characters. She's so great. She's so nuanced. She's so much more than what virtually any other show would make her, right? Where she's the brainy sidekick. The show opens with that understanding of Phoebe, but there's so much more to her, and it's such a joy to see them explore that and refuse to make side characters, right? It's like Phoebe is going to have her own story. She's going to have her own personality and struggles. She is not defined by Helga. She is not defined by the role she plays in this show. It's such a great example of what Hey Arnold does so well, where it never relegates any of its characters to that sort of like sidekick position, right? And this is one of my favorite examples of that. And I also just find it so funny and so good. And Helga's poem in it is so good. And Phoebe breaking down and arguing with Emily Dickinson. It's just straight up one of my favorite episodes, I think. And that brings me to number one, which Cody already talked about a little bit. This is my bias, is that everybody knows I'm a huge Helga stan. I think Helga's Love Potion is probably my favorite episode that we've seen so far. We'll see if that continues. It's the, to use a comparison I know Cody is waiting for, it's the Wong Kar Wai's 2046 of Hey Arnold episodes. And I mean that in the most positive way possible, right? Like it's so amazing to watch that struggle that Helga goes through, and particularly the specific truths that she derives from it, where she ends up internalizing and sort of taking ownership of her feelings in a way that she never had before, right? Where before, this crush she had on Arnold was something almost projected onto her or imposed on her, and she was chafing at it, right? Where it caused her so much pain and so much heartache, and it made her feel so strange and creepy about herself that she wanted to do away with it. And then she sees the consequences of doing away with it in how it sort of renders her this passionless person. And she makes the conscious decision on her part to instead internalize those feelings because of not only what they represent or how they make her feel, but also what they mean to her about who she is, right? Not just about who Arnold is, but also about who she can understand herself to be and how she can see the world when she makes those emotions and those beliefs part of who she is. And that is such a powerful, like, eternal message, not just for kids, but for everyone, that like, remember that love is as much about you as it is about the objects of your love, right? And that love is the way that we characterize ourselves, the way that we define ourselves and our relationship to the world and each other. And in doing so, like, we have to remember and take ownership of our own loves and our own obsessions and make them part of who we are and understand ourselves through them. And like, that is like maybe one of the biggest aspects of growing up that is such an important thing to learn. And so like, that's like a 22 minute episode that does that, right? And it does this through this unbelievably brilliant and multifaceted character that we already love so well. And it's so painful to see her go through the process and to come out the other side and understand herself and sort of like position herself as ready to move forward through life with this new understanding is so is just so heartening and it means so much to me, right? And so I think that's maybe my favorite episode of Hey Arnold. I really loved what Cody said about it as well. And you picked some really great episodes as well, Emily, so I can't wait to hear what you've got to say about them.
Ooh, yeah. Man, what a season. But yeah, I wanted to also shout out this because I just noticed it looking at our Google Doc. There's a little sneak peek behind the scenes. Stoop kids look for you, but me and Harry both have one in common. Me and Cody both have one in common, and then Harry and Cody have one in common for our top three. Whoa. So that's pretty adorable. But yeah, I had a hard time narrowing it down for these, so I just want to shout out my honorable mentions. Go to Rhonda's Glasses and Helga's Love Potion. Of course, that one would have just been on all of our lists because it's so good. But yeah, for my third pick, I put Miss Perfect on there, or Ms. Perfect. So the episode that introduces Lila into PS-118, I really chose it because, well, for personal reasons, when I was a kid, I was like the new kid at like five different schools. I like moved and I was rezoned and moved again and all sorts of stuff. So I was just often the new kid, and it was a difficult thing as a child or like a young adult. And I think that this episode just did such a fantastic job of like showing that type of struggle. Like it's a very specific problem, I think, to have, to be like thrown into a world that you don't know and people you don't know in the context of a school where everyone already knows each other and already has friends. So to see Lila play into that and to see like her struggle with her father and trying to like get everyone to like her and, you know, also trying to be herself and, you know, be true to herself and authentic and everything with that is, I think, just really well written. And they also like characterize how cruel girls can be to each other at a young age, and like the bullying and all of that that can take place maybe, you know, behind someone's back or what have you. But the girls who bully Lila in the episode, which are all our favorite girls, you know, Phoebe and Helga and everyone, they kind of realize the error of their ways by the end of that episode and apologize to her and are like super upfront, like, we actually did mean to hurt you. You know, we're super jealous of you because everyone, all the boys are crazy about you and you're, you know, this hot new thing at school or whatever. But we realize like we hurt you and that our actions are rooted in insecurity. And yeah, so they like come full circle and have like this nice remorseful apology to her. And I just think it's a really awesome episode and look at what it's like to be a new kid at school. And yeah, so my second pick goes to Harold's Kitty, which I think was the B episode of the very first episode we discussed this season. And man, I also, I'm not sure if I've seen that one before, or maybe just remembered bits and pieces of it from watching it as a kid. But I think Harold is so great of a character. And I love seeing him take on this like very sweet, nurturing aspect with Cupcake / Thurston, the cat. And that he just can't give up the cat to the rightful owner. So we basically see a full like movie episode of Hey Arnold in that episode, at least in my opinion. It's like this whole scene too with the fire truck show up and everything at the end where Harold has this kitty like ransom in his apartment. We see that beautiful montage of him with the cat where he's like at the park with him and showing him a lion at the zoo and just sitting with him on the bench and eating ice cream and stuff. So I think that it's just like a funny episode and cute and sweet to see Harold's character development in that plot, and just fun to see like what is a miniature movie look like in Hey Arnold. And I think it looks like Harold's Kitty. And then, yeah, so for my final pick, I also chose Monkey Business. Man, what just like a super, super fun episode that is. Again, it's really funny in a lot of ways, but it also tackles like childhood, your paranoias and your fear too of just like what are germs, what are like diseases, what is it like to get sick, and what are all these things that we don't know about in this weird, scary world we live in. Especially when you're learning about stuff like in school like that, and you're like, monkey nucleosis, like, oh God, I've never heard of this. And now I'll see it in every minute of my day-to-day life now that I know what this thing is. But also, yeah, just like that monkey nucleosis, I think that phrase alone, if you said that to a Hey Arnold fan, they'd get a kick out of it, because it's like a very memorable, yeah, just moment in that, in the show in general, and in that episode, obviously. But yeah, Helga also like just goes on this huge arc within that episode. We see her, you know, learning about monkey nucleosis in Mr. Simmons' class, and then seeing the monkey at the park and thinking that she did contract it from the monkey, and some really funny like visual gags ensue where she thinks she's becoming a monkey, but it like ends up with her kind of like inner turmoil over Arnold and who she is and her own insecurities. And yeah. And like by the end of the episode, she's even ready to confess her love to him because she thinks she's dying of monkey nucleosis. So I just think that the stakes are really high in that episode, and we get to see this amazing transformation that goes on within Helga's mind, but also with the people around her. And we see, yeah, a lot of like what she's envisioning is happening to her and all of that. And Harry talked about it in our episode, but I just remember like how the parallel is there for puberty and just how awkward of a time that is for young adults. So I think that's portrayed really well. And it's just an excellent episode, as are all of them, really. But yeah, that about kicks us off for the whole recap.
Yeah.
Cody, do you want to take over from there?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. No, you did great. Thank you, both of you, for your picks. Yeah, I mean, that's season two. Even without the sort of benefit of sitting with this season for a while, you know, even just like where we're at right now, after hearing everybody kind of wax poetic about, you know, the things that stood out to all of us the past several months. Really fun exercise. I'm really glad we do this following, well, I guess just the past couple seasons. I definitely anticipate us doing at least some variation of this going forward. But yeah, that is season two. This is sort of like our soft conclusion to it. We do have one other sort of fun little episode in store next week. I won't say too much about that now. But yeah, I'm grasping at straws here. I think we've probably been on mic long enough, so I can kind of bring us out of here. But before I do, Harry, Emily, any lingering thoughts or parting shots that either of you want to take before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'm just so excited for season three. I really love doing these recaps. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening, listeners, if you're out there. And these things always make me want to rewatch the show just desperately. You know, I'll probably spend the rest of my night doing that at this point. So it's so fun to do this and to have my love of Hey Arnold like recharged and re-upped every single time. It's wild how much we've found in each of these episodes, right, and across this whole show. There's so much more to it than I even could have hoped for. So it's just awesome to get to do that. So thank you both so much. That's all I've got.
Yeah, it was a really fun season, and I just want to thank everyone for listening, who has been or who's new to listening to us. Just thanks for listening. It's awesome that people are listening to us talk about this beloved show. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, piggybacking off that, thank you. If you're listening to this, thank you for your participation and your support. You know, whether this is your first time tuning in or if you've kind of been with the show since the beginning, thank you regardless. It's, yeah, very spectacular to know that the sort of things that touch us and excite us as we look back on Hey Arnold ring true to others out in the world as well. And this is an extremely cozy corner of the internet that we've found ourselves in. And there's plenty of nostalgia to go around. So please, you know, keep listening. And if you're up for it, rate, review, subscribe. It would mean a lot to us. We've got, like I said, one more episode that we'll be releasing before our sort of pre-season three break. It'll be a short one. But just kind of letting you know what's next. We'll offer more details next week. Time is just flying by, isn't it? And during that break, you know, we'd love to hear from y'all. Your favorite Hey Arnold moments and memories, or just, you know, reach out about anything, really. And it might be helpful to know where you can find us. And that's on Instagram as well as on Twitter at StoopKidsPod. And once again, that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Thanks again, everyone. Be safe, be healthy, be respectful, be bold.